afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
There you go. You got it right. Yeah, good afternoon, Melody.
I got it right. I had to think about it, but I got it right.
Welcome to the first day of fall.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
It's a beautiful day, too.
Yes, it is. Fall is in the air, it seems.
I thought spring just started last week. I mean, that's how fast it went by. But anyway, it is fall. And it's, I guess you call this Indian summer. You just call it. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. So I have no complaints. If I had any complaints, you wouldn't listen anyway, so why waste them on you, right?
Yeah, I know. That gives me less time to air my complaints, so if I listen to yours. Although I do have... This isn't a complaint. This is an observation. Gold today was down another $9.70 at 1903, still hovering at 1900. Silver is down 23 cents at $24.55. Platinum was down 9 at 876. Palladium was down 35 at 2,254. The USDX is up 0.44, 93.97, closing in on that 94. Crude oil was up 24 cents at 39.55. And let's go to the paper markets today. They're positive, 139 points at 27,287 for the Dow. The NASDAQ was up 184, 10,963. The S&P was up 34, 3,315. 10-year yield, 0.66. And, you know, it's the same stuff day in and day out. Sizzler, one of America's first steakhouse chains, files for bankruptcy. I remember the Sizzler. Remember them?
They
were popular on the West, in the West, when I was in Arizona. A 62-year-old company is filing bankruptcy. They have, let me see, the 62-year-old company, they filed Chapter 11 because of COVID, which forced them to temporarily close its restaurants, had problems paying rent. The filing is only for Sizzler's 14 company-owned restaurants, not its international locations or more than 90 franchised U.S. restaurants. Sizzler explained in a press release that it is using the bankruptcy process to reduce debt and renegotiate its leases. And that is exactly what the United States government will be doing. They will be reducing their debt and renegotiating their leases, which is what they owe. Which is your treasuries. Our current financial state is a direct consequence of the pandemic. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. They started in 1958. And, you know, again, it's just another one that, and you have to ask yourself, you know, they were already in debt. They already had problems with leasing. You see these, real estate, who knows where they lease these restaurants at. The area might be going down in value, but the rents are going up and they're getting out of hand. So, hey, let's file bankruptcy and let's get this stuff renegotiated and, you know, we move on. We continue to keep doing what we're doing, but let's get rid of it. There should be some sort of, you know, should there be bankruptcy, Butch?
You know, that's a tough question. And even if there were, there has to be some kind of accountability.
Right.
There's got to be something there. They have to show some kind of viable reason as to why they have to declare bankruptcy. They just can't manage themselves in a bankruptcy and say, whoops, we can't afford to do more. That's not right. I mean, that's just not the way it should be done for individuals or businesses. So, yeah, I'd say there could be causes for, we'll say, reorganization. But when it comes to carelessness and loose spending, almost like the government, you know, of course, they can always raise tax and get their money back. But you and I and businesses have to answer. And no, I don't think it should be just something just given because you asked for it. No, I don't.
I mean, when you really think about it, though, if everybody likes this, you know, the capitalist venue, you know, hey, if you can't make it and you make bad decisions and you fail, I don't think you should be able to renegotiate your debts.
Well, you know? if it would pay the debts and save jobs, that's what I'm looking at. If they would pay the debts that they honestly owe and keep people working, that'd be the good side of it. Now, but when I'm talking about bankruptcy, I don't mean that you just go off and scot-free and say, well, I can't pay it and walk away. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being responsible with maybe with some help to renegotiate debt to the point that you can pay it and keep your workers working, but your goal is to pay debt and you don't take any profit, so to speak, until you do. That's
but
what
you know
I got
what, it's almost, but it's almost the same thing when you have a, you know, personal debt. There's places out there that will renegotiate your bill. I mean, if you can't pay, you just can't pay. I mean, there's nothing they can do about it, but you can go renegotiate your bill instead of paying the $50,000 that you charged. We'll drop it down to, you know, $15,000. That hurts the company, which eventually is they lay off people anyway. You know, so, I mean, does it really, truly help? I don't know.
When I say renegotiate, I don't mean cut the bill. I mean renegotiate payments, maybe a little longer extension or whatever. I don't mean not pay it. I mean, give them more time to pay, perhaps, if at all possible. Yeah. You know, I don't mean that you don't pay your debt. That would not be right. That's kind of like stealing.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I'm talking about having some way where you got a year to pay this. Well, let's try for two. Let you stay in business, keep the jobs going, and we'll cut down the payment, but you still got to pay it off.
But you know the dollar. I said the dollar got a little bit stronger today. It's an 8-week high today. We had a top Federal Reserve official. He kind of struck a hawkish tone and said further quantitative easing may not provide additional lift to the U.S. economy. The euro touched an 8-week low against the dollar, while the Swiss franc fell to a 7-week trough. Speaking at a virtual meeting of the London-based Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said the U.S. economy risked a longer, slower recovery, if not an outright recession. I thought we were already in one since February, but hey. Without another fiscal support package, Evans says he does not see an open-ended quantitative easing as providing an important part of the answer. However, he is not a voter at the FOMC. Next year, though, he will be, which is kind of interesting. And he mentioned pausing quantitative easing and rates rising before the inflation target is reached. He says, the sooner we get to the other side of this virus, you're going to see rate hike expectations jump up. And that should further drive this dollar. The dollar climbed in earlier trading after parts of Europe imposed new restrictions aimed at curbing surging coronavirus cases. But what also is interesting today is you had Mnuchin and Powell in Congress, you know, talking about what's the best way to boost aid to small businesses that were hit hard and how it can be extended and the manner in which it should be delivered. So they had testimony before the House of Representatives, the Financial Services Committee. Supposedly they were pressed by lawmakers. I'm not quite sure. Both Mnuchin and Powell said that they were looking for ways to extend a little bit more help, but also they were, this is interesting, but also that they were hitting legal and practical limits that might require actions by Congress to avoid. So Fed loans backed by commercial buildings as collateral, for example, were often prohibited by existing lending agreements that forbid the owners from further borrowing. And proposals that the U.S. Central Bank loosen requirements for its Main Street lending program to make it more accessible to smaller firms overlook the fact that larger businesses have been the ones interested in central bank credits. So Powell said there is very little demand below $1 million. And to Mnuchin's suggestion that the minimum loan size under the facility could be lowered from $250,000 to $100,000. That's for small business, but that ain't going to work. But anyway, they're in there hashing it out, you know, trying to, you know, because all the stimulus, as we talked about yesterday, from the $2.3 trillion CARES Act, you know, it's beginning to, you know, it's not beginning to have any impact any longer. That means the economy is slowing down from what little steam it had gathered. So, but anyway, yeah. I think that was probably, you know, and again, we've seen pressure on gold. This is just a little bit, you know, the Fed speaks, the guy in Europe is speaking, and, you know, it's the dollar is rising. That's all right. I told you, if you remember, we're going to have this. They're not going to let the dollar fall without a fight. And they're fighting. So take advantage of the pullbacks. You know, I mean, how many listeners buy, their financial planners want you to buy on dips? You know, how many calls do you get when you're, you know, there's a dip in the stock markets and they call you, buy on the dip, buy on the dip. Gold's the same way. So take advantage. Be thankful that, you know.
Yes, now it's time to buy. Yes.
Now it's time to buy. Be thankful that it is the price that it is.
Well, you know, you were talking about Powell, and Powell said he pledges the Fed's economic aid for as long as it takes. And I'm looking at this article. This Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said that the central bank is committed to helping the economy. In remarks to deliver Tuesday to a House committee, Powell said the Fed will continue as long for as long as it takes. He noted continued improvement in conditions, though he said the path ahead continues to be highly uncertain. The Fed will continue to give economic aid. Melody, it seems to me like anybody will stop and think and ask a question, where is the Fed getting the money? What kind of job does it have to earn profits to give away money? Where does the money come from? What would do in the long run to the economy? How are they going to pay it back? I mean, shouldn't it, and we'll call it inflation. Shouldn't those questions be asked? How is the Fed going to keep on giving away money to boost the economy? When the Fed has no money, all we can do is print paper and pass out digits. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, this is, to me, it makes sense. I mean, Illinois, a state, we're talking about a state here. Illinois may look more like junk as pressure rises, S&P says. Now, this is a state. Now, we know that Illinois has been in financial problems for a while, but without federal aid, there we go again, without a government bailout, a so-called sovereign state, Illinois credit pressures are mounting and the state may have to borrow more even as officials seek to cut spending and balance the budget. The coronavirus has exacerbated the world's worst-rated state's challenges, including already large budget gaps and weak demographics. The economic toll of the pandemic hurt revenue and collections and increased costs. With the need for additional borrowing and as an elevated bill backlog and lingering substantial structural imbalances, Illinois could exhibit further characteristics of a non-investment-grade issuer, S&P analysts Carol Spain said, and Jeffrey Buswick wrote in a report published Monday. S&P rates Illinois BBB, one level above junk, with a negative outlook. A state with no credit. It's been run by the wrong bunch for a long time, apparently. And unfortunately, that's not the only state going in, you know, starting to go down the same path. Bill and Wood been hurting financially, so what are they going to do? They're waiting for the feds to bail them out, which means waiting for Powell to say, all right, we'll send you a few more $1 billion to get you back on your feet again. How long can this go on before there is no more way to bail anybody out? Somebody's got to face music someday. Realize this is going to go on forever. It can't. It can't. Any comments on that?
Well, no. I mean, it's, you know, the numbers just continue to rise. They become staggering. And you know, they get to the point where they're meaningless. And I guess we're at that point. Numbers don't mean anything anymore because everything just seems, I guess, what's big enough, it's big enough to at least churn somewhat. Doesn't matter that it's slowed down and, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, that aren't benefiting and so forth. But, you know, it again, you can never, ever underestimate their power and their ability to pull something out of their hat. And, you know, you have the world global, you have the global governments working, you have the central banks working, you have governments and everything all working together. So, you know, people who were always afraid of a one-world government, well, we pretty much have it now.
All
we have a
one-world
economy.
Absolutely.
We have a one-world economy.
Well, this article here says, after the stimulus binge, brace for a crash. This article, I just got one paragraph of copy I'd like for you to read because I thought I said enough. Skyrocketing debt, higher borrowing costs, and hobbled economy are predicted, the latest Congressional Budget Office report. As anybody who has ever snorted a few lines of white powder to enhance an evening knows, there's a price to pay for the artificial energy. The short-term boost is followed by a crash of longer duration. While America get ready for a hell of a hangover, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the federal government recent stimulus spending intended to offset the economic distress caused by voluntary social distancing and especially by mandatory lockdowns is bound to be followed by an epic crash. Now that's right out of the CBO. I mean, there's going to be a crash, and it's going to take longer to recover from this one than did. So what is going to happen here? Whenever they tell you that you can bail out and it's going to be a temporary fix, but it's going to hurt worse when it comes again. I don't know. I don't know what else they can say. I mean, the signs are all there, Melody. I mean, even the government offices are telling us this isn't going to last forever. When the government's, when the feds and other people, private companies start saying this isn't going to last forever, maybe we should pay attention. It can't go on like that forever.
You know, and no disrespect to those who think that the virus is all a hoax. I know you do, too.
Well, no, I don't think the virus is a hoax. I think the hype is a hoax.
Well,
even CDC says it is.
And they've, you know, and I think they've since took down a lot of things too. So I don't know. I mean, everybody, you know what? You can't get straight answers from anybody anymore. I mean, for one side of the cheek, somebody, you know, President Trump, one minute he'll say something, and the next minute he's totally says something completely opposite. How does that help the people of this country?
It doesn't.
But where I was going is, you know, I'm reading a headline where it's like nearly 100,000 businesses have permanently closed since March.
Over 60% of them.
I guess those businesses really don't matter. It's kind of like the 200,000 people who supposedly have died from COVID. They just don't matter. We live in an it just doesn't matter society. It just doesn't matter. As long as I'm okay, as long as I can feed my family, it doesn't matter. As long as I can buy a new car, as long as I can go out and buy a TV, as long as I can do, it doesn't matter anymore. Welcome, but what does matter is this break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, when I was on this, it doesn't matter anymore. Who cares? It doesn't matter anymore. Well, you know, there's a, I don't know where this comes. Let me pull this up. Economic matters. How is the new normal doing? And that's what I'm thinking, the new normal. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't matter. That's the new normal. It doesn't matter that mom and pop shops across this country are closing. Why, Butch? Why doesn't anybody seem to care?
Well, why did they not care when Walmart came into town and shut down so many local stores in downtown, took over the downtown businesses? And why didn't they care when all these fast food or these Go-Mart type service station went business and put all the independent stations out. They used to pump your gas and wash your windshield and change your oil in your car. What happened to them, you know, when those went out? I don't know, Melody. It just doesn't seem like you're right. It seems like people just let it come and don't worry about it. It is sad, but America is changing. Like it or not, America, the whole world is. But America is changing.
I mean, 74% of hotels are going to have to lay off more employees without a new stimulus deal from Congress. Does that sound like an economy on the recovery? Does that sound like we're in a V-shaped recovery?
This article here just mentioned hotels. This is sad. Grand Chicago Hotel in foreclosure, a symbol of COVID-19's toll on the hospitality industry. The Palmer House Hilton had been one of Chicago's grandest hotels more than a century. Charles Dickens and Oscar Wilde were guests. Frank Sinatra serenaded diners at Supper Club. For the past 15 years, the owner spent $173 million to overhaul the hotel, modernizing most of the 1,641 rooms. That's a big motel, a hotel. But today, the property faced a bank foreclosure and become one of the most potent symbols of the troubled hospitality industry during COVID-19. Wells Fargo Bank said in court papers last month that the hotel's owner, real estate investor Thor Equities, was in default on $333.2 million first mortgage, making the property one of the first major foreclosure actions during the pandemic. The Palmer House was worth $305.5 million shortly before Wells Fargo filed this action, an appraiser said. So there you go. The one's been in business for over a century. A rather nice motel. I mean, you get Frank Sinatra singing there and bringing that kind of clientele, I'd say that's a pretty nice motel. But it's shutting down after 100 years, Melody. I know it's one motel, but it's one been there for 100 years. It's weathered a lot of things. I mean, it weathered a lot of bad ups and downs in this country. But this one it couldn't handle.
And again, where were they positioned prior to this? And that is, you know, they had, you know, $173 million in just renovations. They went into debt and, you know, hey, bad times came.
Yeah, it,
and,
it did.
You know,
it did.
They couldn't get they couldn't get themselves out of it. So, you know, it is true. A lot of these businesses are failing. They're not positioned for bad times. Hey, when things are good, people go out and you spend, you buy, you expand, you fix, you do this. Bad times are always there. And it's a cycle. We're going to have recessions. Stuff
yes,
happens.
Yes.
I call it life. Life happens.
As individuals should prepare for bad times, so should businesses. Obviously, that's
absolutely
true.
Absolutely.
Everyone should have a nest egg, something they can fall back on. That's why you offer gold and silver, precious coins, for people to have something as a nest egg. If you spend all you make, never put anything back for harder times, folks, you're going to cut your pants down one day and wish you had put some money back. I worked in sales, Melody, for over 40 years, and I had some months I did very well, and I have gotten paychecks for zero also. But praise God, I had enough sense to know when I was doing very well, put money back for the times when things were not so well. When the coal mines were slowing down, they weren't buying anything, or different things happened. I managed a little bit to keep myself out of the red because I did know that things could happen to change the cycle of my sales, and I weathered the storm. If you don't do that, no job, folks, is guaranteed. No job, unless you're a politician. But anyway, no job is guaranteed. So it's always wise to prepare for hard times ahead. And Melly Sushin has one of the best ways possible. Some precious metals that are always worth something when your dollar's worth nothing. So those are just words of advice that I've learned from experience. If you don't prepare for hard times, you're going to get caught one day and not ready for it, and you're going to wish to goodness you'd done something to prepare for it. That's just common sense. I mean, why do you think ants put food away for the winter? They know winter's coming. Well, folks, it's coming to America, and it's already started. And it's not going to get any better for a long time, if at all. I don't think we can ever turn this country around financially. I really don't. So if you're not preparing yourself, it's kind of in your hands. You can't say you weren't told. Is that right, Melody?
Yeah, and I don't know if, I mean, I don't want this program to come across like it's a big old infomercial, because it really isn't. Yeah, I sell gold. I couldn't do it if I didn't believe. I'd like to think it's more, it is an information program. It is bringing you the news and what's going on, instead of just sitting here cheerleading some administration just for the point of, you know, cheerleading. People do that so they make money. People say things on a lot of these other programs that they might not believe, but they're going to say it on the air because that's what they think their listeners want to hear. So, you know, so hopefully it'll ring their phone. You know, I like to think of us as a news program. We bring you the news. We talk about it. We try to weed through it. And to make you understand how important it is to have gold in this world that we live in today.
And we cover a lot of news that we never hear on mainstream either. I mean, I hear a lot of these stories we're talking about right now. I've already seldom hear one on the news discussing the shutting of the Grand Hotel in Chicago. I don't hear these things coming out. I don't hear about a lot of these things. So, folks, what they're telling you things that maybe, I'm not saying they're not all unimportant, but compared to what's really happening to the people, I'm talking about the people. Not government, not anything else, but people's bottom line. They can't feed their families and pay the mortgage. That's the bottom line. And people who worked at the motel, spent over 100 years, were laid off, going to be laid off, shut down. Where do they go? Real people work there. So, but that's not on the news. They don't talk about that. They talk about Trump and Biden and on it goes. And so, but yeah, folks, you know, you're not hearing these stories on the news. That's why we share them on this broadcast.
You know, but anyway, it's there's so much going on out there.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and I know. And it is about the election. But there's a lot more that's going on out there, too. And I guess it's just another week. Speaking of the election, Butch, I think it's just another week until the first debate.
I can't wait.
It's going to be interesting. That debate will have more viewers than any other program in the history of television. It will break a record.
Oh, my.
Do you
so
not
excited.
Agree?
I'm so excited. So excited.
And I think there was... Oh, I can't get to it. No, I believe that there will probably be one of the biggest turnouts for this debate than anything on that has been previously on TV.
Well, there's no doubt about it. This has been the most contentious election cycle that I remember in my lifetime. The most stressful, I guess you could say. This is the worst that I've ever seen.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it will be really interesting to see the numbers who actually vote and so forth and whatnot, you know. And anyway, what's next? What do you want to talk about? You don't want to talk about the election, I can tell, so.
Election, it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I don't think my stomach can handle it. But anyway, we were talking the other day, and Marcia told somebody, my wife said, you know, Butch, I don't ever watch the news anymore. Well, it's the same thing every night. It's hard to watch the news and hear the same thing about coronavirus and Trump and Biden. Every now and then they throw something in about a storm or something coming in, but it's not the news like it used to be. But millionaire tax coming to New York next. Now, we all know about New Jersey has put a tax on millionaires, and people leaving New Jersey by the bunches. Well, last Thursday, after a grueling three-year crusade to make life for taxpayers in the second lowest rated U.S. state even more unbearable, and this is what I said, the second lowest rated U.S. state is New York. Think about that. New Jersey finally passed a tax on millionaires, fulfilling a long-running dream of Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic leaders. Facing a fiscal crisis of epic proportions, Murphy finally convinced holdout lawmakers to raise the tax rate on earnings over $1 million to 10.75%, up from 8.97%. As we noted last week, it remains unclear how quickly this decision will prompt an exodus of the state's richest residents. What was clear, by the way, folks, they're already leaving. They're not waiting. They're already going out of there. What was clear, however, is that it was only a matter of time before other Democrat-run fiscally irresponsible states would follow New Jersey's lead. Now that the seal has been broken, after all, progressives in Albany have already been pushing Governor Cuomo to consider a variety of bills, including one to raise taxes rate on those earning more than $100 million to almost 12%. So just a few days later, the same progressives have lowered their sight on what's the fair wealth redistribution cutoff should be. And as WSJ reports, New York legislature said New Jersey's agreement to increase taxes on millionaires should be matched in New York, and are pushing the state legislature here to convene soon to consider a revenue package. Just like New Jersey, which was hit hard by coronavirus pandemic, New York has seen a 14.5 billion decline in state revenues, but so far Governor Cuomo has pushed off negotiations on adjusting the state budget in the hope that Congress will appropriate additional aid. Here we go again. Turn to the government, turn to the Fed, they're going to help us out. So Cuomo said that they had a $14.5 billion decline in revenues, which means taxes, folks. Revenues means taxes. So $14.5 billion less taxes by them because of COVID. COVID did a lot of great for this, a lot of good for the country. It sure did shut down a lot of businesses, didn't it? Anyway, this is unbelievable. So Cuomo's holding up for another bailout. I don't know. You go figure it out. I mean, is it going to work? Did it work the first time? Did New York pay off all its debt? No, it didn't. If it didn't, it won't be in a mess again already. So the answer is raise taxes. Melody, any comments on that? I mean, what else can government do besides raise taxes?
They can cut their budget.
They pretend
that they cut them, but they really don't. They're always going to raise taxes.
Of course
they're
going to
raise taxes until you're heading into the poorhouse.
Well, I've always wondered what would happen if they asked the senators and the congressmen and the governor to cut their pay in half, to add something back to the budget. Mm. How many people want to run for office then? Yeah, think about that, folks. They make more than you do. They make a lot more than every citizen does working, plus all the benefits. The servant makes more than the master, supposed masters. And when the servants make more than the master, something's out of kilter here. And obviously this is out of kilter. Wouldn't you agree, Melody?
Yes.
And this has been talked about before, but it's coming to fruition next week, apparently. Tens of thousands to lose jobs without airline stimulus from Congress. Here we go again. Help us out, government. More than 35,000 airline industry employees will be laid off from their jobs next week unless Congress is able to pass an extension of the payroll support program. I want people to know about the moment of human suffering and economic pain that is going to be inflicted if a deal isn't cut by October 1st. Now listen to what I said. I want people to know about the amount of human suffering and economic pain that's going to be inflicted if a deal isn't cut by October 1st, Airlines for America President and CEO Nick Calio told Yahoo Finance. It's very real, and it can be stopped. It can be prevented. How? Government, bail them out. Bail them out. Print some more money. It always works. Print some more money. But 35,000 people out of work. And he's right. Human suffering and economic pain is in the forecast for these tens of thousands of workers for the airlines. Oh my, Melody. That's huge. That really is huge.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was only 19,000.
Yeah, so, that's 35,000.
So, that was 35. Let's put a little more pressure on them. Let's increase that number from 19 to 35. That should scare them into giving us some money.
And I suppose next Thursday's the deadline, October 1st.
Isn't it nice to hear businesses give government deadlines?
It is. Oh, Melody, maybe we should appeal that you're going to lay off your staff if they don't give you a bailout here within the first of the month.
Yeah. I'll demand.
It is amazing.
This time to give me an answer.
Oh.
It's disgusting.
And Ralph Lauren, I don't know much about Ralph Lauren. I know it's kind of, I can make a higher end, what, like a department store? Is that what Ralph Lauren is?
Ralph Lauren, yeah, it's a brand.
To cut workforce, invest more in online sales. And Ralph Lauren Corp, RLN, has decided to cut its global workforce by the end of its fiscal year as a part of company-wide restructuring to focus more on online sales. The company does not respond to your request comment on how many employees would we like to be affected by the plan. And online sales, of course, are a big part of our businesses. I mean, a huge part of business anymore. But that does away with bodies on the line that are getting paid to be there. Where do they go? What did they do? And that's another question. How many companies is it going to take to cut back on workforces before we start seeing people really hurting more than they are right now? And people are waiting for another bailout. I get asked pretty often, do you think the government's going to give us another bailout?
Yes.
I don't want to tell them. If I do say anything, I said, how long do you think they can do that? So, yeah, Ralph Lauren is going to go online sales and lay off physical workers at the job places, which means less payroll for them. Maybe more sales, hopefully, but less payroll. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, this is the sign of the times. I mean, this isn't going to go away. As many businesses that are trying to open, just as many of them are closing. And it all means job losses. And, yeah, they're not telling you the truth about the jobs. How few of them, or the unemployment. They're not telling you the truth about the unemployment. I don't know why anybody would believe these numbers. I don't understand how you can distrust government with one administration and not the next. I don't care who it is. I mean, government is government. It's not going to change.
That government at its best is a leech on a healthy body. The only problem is now it's killing the body.
The only thing that's going to change is we're heading into a break. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Tell me again tonight. Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. 800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, I'm looking here at another article, too, concerning businesses. And businesses that are struggling already are going to get hit again. And whether it's right or wrong, it's just it is what it is. Why higher unemployment taxes are all but certain for businesses. Businesses will likely need to pay higher payroll taxes starting as early as next year in order to replenish trust funds used for unemployment benefits. Low trust fund balances trigger higher state tax rates. Businesses that lay off more workers relative to others may also face steeper taxes. So businesses that lay off more workers are going to pay more taxes. That's fair, of course. Yeah, they're already struggling. Anyway, states may step in to limit the increase. They may decide to cut benefits instead. Did you hear what I said, folks? They may decide to cut benefits instead. Even, folks, one day Social Security benefits are going to be cut. They're discussing that right now. The states are poised to raise taxes on businesses starting next year and cut jobless benefits for workers. And cut jobless benefit for workers as coronavirus-fueled downturn continues to stress unemployment systems around the country. Industries like bars and restaurants that were hit hardest by the unemployment crisis may be hit with the bigger tax hikes. Millions of Americans have continued to draw jobless benefits over the past 6 months, and hundreds of thousands found new applications for aid each week. Let me repeat that one time. Hundreds of thousands. New ones, folks. 100,000 found new applications every week. That deluge, unparalleled in the history of unemployment insurance system, which was created in the 1930s, has drained the trust funds states used to pay benefits. Several states have already had to borrow money after depleting these trust funds. Many others will likely need to do so by the end of the recession, according to unemployment experts. So the states are borrowing money to pay unemployment. They're going to raise taxes on the businesses, and a lot of businesses are already struggling to pay the taxes, and or they're going to cut benefits, Melody. How long before they tell that to Social Security people? Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to do that, are they?
No, the government wouldn't do that.
No.
No, people wouldn't stand for it. But with all seriousness, folks, this has been discussed. And I just read an article today that I didn't share at the beginning of the day because it's not definite yet. But Social Security has actually been discussed to be cut, especially for those who are going to retire over the next few years. They're going to cut benefits to those who have not retired yet. Now, let that sink in. With increased inflation, if you're going to retire in the next 4 or 5 years, when you do retire, you may not be able to get as much money that you thought as much you thought you would when you do retire because they're going to cut the benefits. You'll have less real money coming in, and we'll have less money coming in, period. And it's not real money already, but nonetheless, it'll buy less within a few years, and you'll draw less. So, it's imminent. It's here. We can ignore it if you want to, but it doesn't change the fact that it's here. So, why not go ahead and make the businesses pay more taxes or cut benefits? Again, Melody, how does government survive? They take money from you. That's how they survive, right?
Absolutely.
That's the only way they can survive.
I don't know why people can't get the equation right, you know.
Government people does not produce anything.
You know what, Butch? You know, none of this is difficult or hard to understand.
No, it's not.
I mean, if you look at the simplicity of what they've done, I can get as complicated in explaining something just as the next guy. And lots of times when you listen to a lot of these analysts and so forth, they just confuse people most of the time. But you just stick to the basics, and it's real simple to figure out. And that doesn't make you, if you go the simple way, that doesn't mean that you're not smart. You're actually more intelligent because you've seen and know how to read through all the BS that's given, all the propaganda And that's all part of it. By keeping it basic, you can read through all of that and pull away the truth, which makes you, you know, more intelligent than most of the people out there who are put on a pedestal and think that they're greater than popcorn. And but it's true, Butch. Stick to the fundamentals and you stick to the basics, and you can just see the picture just as clear as day. It's amazes me.
It's really common sense. It really is common sense. I mean, government does not produce anything. The only thing government can do is spend money. That's all it does do. It's not meant to produce anything. It may maintain roads or whatever, but you pay for it. The government has no way to produce anything but debt, and that's it. You say, well, they provide jobs. Folks, governments do not pay for jobs. You pay for the jobs. Government does not pay the employees, nor all their benefits. You pay the employees all the benefits. Please understand that. There's nothing that government can do unless they fleece you first to do it. They are the Sheriff of Nottingham in old Robin Hood stories. They're going to take your money and spend it for what they want. This is for real. Please get over the idea, well, that's government funded. No, it's not. It's funded by me and you. We have got to understand that. There's nothing that government produces that you don't pay for. Is that fair enough, Melody? Is that hard to understand?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's just that easy. But government debt rose at a 59% pace in the second quarter amid efforts to halt virus. Almost 60% in government debt. They say it's over $27 trillion now. I say it's a lot more than that. But even if it's just $27 trillion, what did I just say? How do you pay that back? You don't pay that back. Folks, you can't pay it back. It's impossible to pay it back. You can't pay it back. All you can do is dismiss it and act like it didn't happen. That's all. That is what they're going to do sooner or later. But 59%, 58.9%, 59% pace in debt rose that much in one quarter, Melody. What's going to happen in this last quarter? Do you see any let up at all?
Well, I mean, you know, the third quarter, we're going to have a little bit of a pop, you know, mainly because we did have businesses open and so forth and the various phases throughout the country. And, you know, people, you know, are moving around a little bit and maybe, you know, consuming a little bit more. But then on the other hand, you have just as many businesses that have failed, as we have discussed through this whole program. So it could be an even wash. If we stay the same, that might be a good thing.
Well, you wonder, too, that, you know, housing sales are actually up. People are still, I guess, hoping for a good thing.
People must be really bored or something to want to
I guess. Move. Housing sales are up. I don't understand it. I mean, they're not able to pay the bills. How are sales up in housing and automobile? I don't get it. I do not get that. I don't get it. So I'm sitting here just scratching my head, knowing personally that if I had to buy a home, if I needed a home, I don't think I'd go out in debt right now to buy one right now. I don't. I don't have any new cars. I'm not going to buy a new car. I don't see the sense of that kind of money. Money is just too scarce and too hard to come by right now. So why would I take a chance going in debt for something like that? Maybe they see something I don't see, but it's certainly not in my foresight to see what's coming that's going to change anything. Now, the Department of Justice designates New York City as an anarchist jurisdiction. Now, this is something Trump said he's going to do to a few cities, and I guess he did it. The designation comes after a memo from President Trump earlier this month threatened to cut off federal funds for cities. New York City is one of the three places that have permitted violence and destruction of property to persist and have, and it goes on from there. But the Justice Department has designated New York City, Portland, and Seattle as anarchist jurisdictions under guidelines issued by President Trump earlier this month. Trump's September 2nd memo directs federal agencies to minimize funding for designated cities. Federal grants account for billions of dollars in New York City's annual budget, and the city has threatened to sue over any move to defund it. Federal grants are designated for these cities. Now, Melody, how is a grant considered a guarantee? And why would the city sue for something that really doesn't have coming to it legal? I mean, that hasn't earned it. It's going to be granted to them. It's like a child's given an allowance, and their parent quits giving it to them. and they're going to sue to get the allowance. That's a grant. It's not like debt they owe or promised anything. It's a grant, but New York City is going to sue the federal government to keep the grants coming in. How does that work?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
You know, maybe I'm looking at this thing the wrong way, but I thought a grant was a gift, didn't you?
Well, yeah, you know, a grant, you know, just like you have a grant for loans and things like that, school loans and so forth, you don't have to pay it back. You have to provide special circumstance. You know, there's criteria in order to see if you qualify for that grant and so forth. Grants you don't have to pay back. But if you don't qualify, I don't know how you can sue. I suppose if you think you qualify and they're telling you that you don't qualify, I suppose you could sue them and say, you know, I do, and here's the criteria, and here we are, and so, yes, you can give me my grant. I don't know.
I don't get it. Of course, I'm not a
politician. I didn't think states. I guess they could, but I didn't think states could sue the federal government.
It's a city suing, so I don't have any idea.
Well.
And of course, you know what? Ginsburg passed away a few days ago, and the liberals are upset. They said over our dead bodies. Liberals threatened to burn it all down if GOP replaced Ginsburg before Election Day. Which the Washington Examiner, former CNN host Reza Aslan, joined several other verified Twitter accounts in threatening violence if Senate Republicans attempt to fill the Supreme Court seat of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg over dead bodies. Literally, Asian wrote in response to a tweet saying Senator Mitch McConnell intends to fill Ginsburg's seat shortly after it was announced Friday that she had died at the age of 87. Aslan also tweeted, if they even try to replace RBG, we burn the entire effing thing down. If McConnell, now this is, folks, these are CNN heads talking like this, the former head of it. If McConnell jams someone through, which he will, there will be riots. Washington Post and GQ writer Laura Bassett said. Bo Willimon, a writer guild of American president, told his roughly 162,000 followers that were shutting this country down if Trump and McConnell try to ram through an appointment before the election. Direct communications at the Anti-Violence Project, Ethel Cruz, agreed with Willimon's calls, shut things down by calling on people to march on Washington and just shut it down ourselves. Wow. Just what we need. Another riot in the streets, more burning and more looting. That's just what we need. Why not? And I guess Trump's going to announce it this weekend, who's going to appoint. A lady's going to appoint. I'm not sure who it's going to be yet, but he's supposed to announce this weekend. So will they march? We'll know real soon, won't we?
Yeah, we will. But you know what? Most people out there don't have a clue what the Supreme Court even is or who's on there.
No, they don't.
So, but then I heard one announcer, I don't know what station she was on, something I was flipping through. She says when her daughter, who was 20, found out that she had died, she started crying. And I'm thinking, I mean, we've gone insane. We're all mad. I mean, I just can't believe. Well, I'm sure there. I saw something else that if you're a woman and if you vote and if you do this and if you do that and if you do this, it's all due to RBG. I'm thinking, really? When I do something, it's because of me.
There you go.
You know? And, I mean, I guess the women's, you know, suffrage for voting and so forth, yeah, they made a difference. That allowed me to vote. But I'm not quite sure what Ginsburg did for me.
Well, I would tell you about
it. And it irritates me, Butch, more than anything. Is it's not what they're not supposed to do for us.
Right.
They're supposed to do for this country. There's all they have to do, and it irritates me that it's, oh, we need a liberal. Oh, we need a conservative. I always thought that the United States Constitution was neither.
Well, Ginsburg certainly did not pay attention to the Constitution. That's a fact. She didn't do it.
I know.
She didn't even pay attention
at all.
But,
I mean, that's all their job is. They're supposed to follow the Constitution.
That's right.
It shouldn't be about the left or the right.
They're just to make sure it's interpreted right and handled right. That's all they're supposed to do with it.
That's all that's supposed to be done.
I got to get one more argument. We're running out of time. I want to share this very quickly if you have time. Bloomberg pays fines for 32,000 felons in Florida so they can vote. I guess you saw that. Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg has reportedly raised more than $16 million in an effort to help convicted felons in Florida to register to vote. In Florida, if they pay their fines, they can actually vote again. So he's helping 32,000 register to vote. He's putting in $16 million so they can get these people to go out and vote. Now, ain't that wonderful, Melody? I'm not saying that once they pay their dues, they shouldn't be able to vote. That's not what I'm saying. But he's paying off their fines so they can vote. Do you think of being strange attached to those votes?
Depends. I don't know how many votes are going to get out of it and so forth, but that's what happens when you have billions of dollars, how you can influence, you know, the elections. I mean, he's known for going around in your local elections and planning down hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars in local elections to get those appointed to promote his agenda. And it's, you know, but that's where we're at.
And we're out of time.
And we're out of time. That's where we're at, too. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
That's too bad.